I'm Dan Cassidy, and this is UBS On Air's Art Cashin on the Markets podcast. On a weekly basis, we do like to touch base with Art Cashin and get his take on timely market-related developments. Art Cashin, of course, is the Director of Floor Operations for UBS at the New York Stock Exchange. So, Art, great to be with you again, and thank you for joining us this week.
As usual, it is my distinct honor. Thank you.
So, Art, I would like to begin with the events which occurred over this past weekend in Saudi Arabia. Those events have gripped investors throughout the course of this week. Developments are very fluid. It seems like every day we're learning something new. Where do we currently stand with this story, and how have the oil markets been responding as a result?
Well, after a rather sharp initial reaction, the oil markets have kind of stabilized and cut back much of its earlier losses, all on the Saudi reassurance that the facility would be back up to capacity in a few short weeks, not months, as people feared. I was a little bit surprised about that, as were many of my fellow floor traders. The reason we were surprised is because the facility is rather still vulnerable, and continued drone attacks could certainly occur, and it would probably tickle the Iranians, because further drone attacks might delay or screw up the Aramco IPO, the initial public offering of the big Saudi Arabian oil company. So we will need some sign about what anybody is going to do about containing Iran. As a sidebar to that, Dan, the president seems to be bending over backwards to avoid any military-type response. And while certainly that's good for troops and the troops and for world peace, the other problem is that if the Iranians begin to believe that they can get away with this kind of thing without any heavy consequences, they may try again and again. Now, the president has spoken of increasing the sanctions on Iran. That's a possibility. If they're painful enough, then maybe that will dissuade them. But there is some worry down here, not that the guys on the floor are warmongers, but that if Iran thinks it's getting away with stuff, it will try this again and again. We'll, you know, be going after the Saudi Empire and the Saudi facilities.
Yep, this is a complicated situation with wide-ranging implications, and one that I know investors are very glued to. So I'm sure we'll have some follow-up conversations on this story in the weeks to come, Art. But I do want to pivot to today. So on the central bank front, the Fed will conclude their two-day policy meeting in a few short hours from now. It began yesterday in Washington, D.C. We'll get the rate decision today at 2 p.m. Eastern. What are your expectations for this particular meeting and more broadly for policy for the balance of 2019?
Well, the floor is expecting a 25 basis point cut, and maybe you'll get two, maybe even three, but more likely two dissents. That would be Esther George and Rosengren from Boston saying they don't think a cut is needed. That would be what the basic story probably should be. The traders here will also look at the so-called dot plots, the estimates of the individual Fed members anonymously submitted. The reason I'll be looking at those is they want to see how wide open they leave the door for further cuts. The assumption was you're only going to get 25 when you maybe should have gotten more. Therefore, you've got to leave the door open for further cuts by year end or what's going on. So you'll have the basic headline, which will be what they do, the 25 basis point cut and the dissents. But equally important to the market will be how much latitude they see for further rate cuts coming down the line.
So sticking with the Fed for a moment, the New York Fed carried out a repo operation to keep the Fed funds rate in target range. I believe New York Fed carried out this repo operation once on Tuesday and then again on Wednesday, so twice this week. Can you provide our listeners with some context around what exactly that means?
can only give you the theories. You know, we assume Mr. Powell will lay out what happened with some detail. The more benign of the theories is that September 15th was a corporate tax day, and that some corporations wanted to draw down short-term cash to pay their taxes and get things going, and that the number and amount of what was called for was larger than any of the banks expected. Now, you got to remember, we've stopped quantitative easing, so we used to have a lot more money sloshing around that was readily available. So this was a little bit more painful, obviously, because the short-term interbank rate spiked to nearly 10%, which is stunning. And then when the Fed went in to begin a repo operation, swapping some positions to reliquify the bank's short-term, it didn't exactly work. So they had to suspend it and then come back in, and then they had to come back in for more. So that has raised some questions as to whether the Fed, as they go through the discussion and what they want to do about rates overall, will they have to reinstate a smaller, milder form of quantitative easing to make sure that there is money available, and how far it goes out. I mean, there was real concern that maybe the plumbing in the banking system had broken. And so, you know, it will take probably a couple of weeks. And now, realize where this puts the Fed. I mean, they've been talking about itching to raise and quantitative tightening and tapering. So this is a real embarrassment to them that the system looks a little bit more looks tighter than they had assumed. So we'll wait and see. But I would have to say, chances are they may institute a little more building of the balance sheet and easing in that sense, and that should be the main consequence of this.
Okay, appreciate you breaking that down for us, Art. Very helpful. So before we wrap up our conversation for this week, of course, I always like to ask, what is taking place next week in particular that you'll be keeping an eye on?
Well, I mean, we have a variety of ordinary stuff, if you would. We've got a couple of auctions. People will be watching them to see how they go. Some of the foreign auctions, particularly anywhere where rates are negative, have had bruising consequences, but that hasn't been fully been true here in the U.S. So we'll be watching the auctions to see if foreign interest in U.S. bonds continues. We'll be looking at data like GDP and durable goods, which will be very important. Also, we'll see what follow-up there is to the Iran deal and see if there are any other geopolitical adventures. One of the problems we haven't discussed, Dan, is that the Israeli election turned into a tie. And if they have difficulty forming a government, once again, geopolitical adventurism may pick up in the Middle East. So that's something you've got to keep an eye on. And then last but not least, the UN will be in session. So that can mean random meetings or spontaneous meetings that pop up. So we'll be watching for geopolitical events all the way down. It could be a big potential week for geopolitical events.
As is typical, it promises to be a busy week ahead, and on a more local level with the UN being in session, I know all of us here in New York, especially in Midtown, can expect some added congestion. So that's always something to look forward to each year. Yeah. Art, it's always great catching up with you. Thank you for joining us this week on the podcast, and we'll look forward to catching back up with you again next week.
Once again, it's my pleasure, and we'll work through all this together. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Art. Again, we have been joined by Art Cashin, the Director of Floor Operations for UBS at the New York Stock Exchange. And this has been another installment of UBS On Air's Art Cashin on the Markets podcast. From the UBS On Air studio in New York City, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.